Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. We're getting started here with Ari Cardos. I want to start off with something that the Huffington Post said. Ari is an honest breath of fresh air in helping relationships grow with strong, positive communication and teaching people to co-create the relationship they desire. She's one of the most highly referred relationship coaches. She has worked globally with Hollywood clients, world champion athletes. She is an author of a best-selling book. It's called Relationship Agreements, a simple and effective guide for strengthening communication, reducing conflict, and increasing intimacy to design your ideal relationship. And she is a former leadership development professional at Amazon.com. So she is here to talk to you about the magic of conscious kink for navigating conflict. So take it away.
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone, wherever you are. It is 9 a.m. for me in Bali. I'm just finishing my coffee and I'm excited to be here with each of you. So let me just dive right in. First of all, I'm going to be bringing together an entire weekend plus worth of information into this 52 minutes. So just hold on to your seats and I am inviting each of you to take a deep breath and just become really aware of anything that comes up for you throughout this presentation. If you have any questions, which I hope you do, please add them in the Q&A box and I'll try to get to them at the end. And if I don't get to them all, I encourage you to reach out to me, contact me on Facebook or Instagram or Messenger, and just let me know like what you had questions about and I'm happy to follow up. So let's dive right in. What is conflict? Let's start there. So conflict, you know, that feeling of tension that arises and we all feel it. We all feel a little tension, especially in our relationships. I'm going to be coming at this navigating conflict from a relationship perspective, like a romantic partnership. However, many of these tools can apply to most other types of relationships where there's shared vulnerability and trust. So I'm talking about conflict, whereas we feel the tension coming and it could be you feel it first. It could be that they feel it first. Doesn't really matter. It's just experiencing that tension, which we all do. And oftentimes we decide we're going to run from it or fight it. And I want to give you some other options today using a mix of different information. So I know some people are like, wait a minute, you said using conscious kink. What in the world is that? So maybe some of you are kinksters out there and that's amazing, welcome. And if you're not, that's okay. You do not need to identify as kinky or even know what that means to be in here. So I'm taking some tools from many different practices of embodiment, many different practices of self-development, of learning, of fun, of pleasure, and I'm gonna be bringing them into this talk together. And kink is also known as BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism. And if you watched or read 50 Shades of Grey, that's kind of a little bit like what I'm talking about, maybe not necessarily, but it was mainstream and it got people talking. Now, I have gotten to be a part of many different really amazing communities around relationships and intimacy all over the world. And I can say that one of the fastest ways to vulnerability was through that I have discovered personally is through conscious kink. And what I mean by that is exploring the playfulness, the ability to step into plain pretend as an adult through exploring fantasy and exploring different sensations and exploring what power is and what is it like to consciously choose who we give power to or not give power to, and do that in a loving, safe container with consenting adults. So that's all very important. And it really is kind of like playing pretend in many cases. So I imagine kink and BDSM as two adults saying, hey, let's pretend we weren't just this way as we are right now in this everyday life, which is very cognitive, very performative. If we weren't this way, but we got to step into something new, what would we be? And we get to be like curious all the time. What would that new role be? And so it really is about this role playing of like, okay, well, today I want to pretend like I'm a puppy dog. Okay, let's pretend you're a puppy dog. Okay, today I want to pretend like I'm a baby girl. Okay, let's pretend you're a baby girl. And you get to like see what feels really good for you. And it's just for a set amount of time in most cases. And then you're like, okay, we had to play pretend and I'm moving on. So I want to use some of these concepts in today's talk about navigating conflict, because we are often so serious. We're like, we are going to just finish this conflict. We're going to navigate this. We're going to do it. And the problem is that we come to this, I'm going to call it a battlefield, which it doesn't need to be, but we come to this battlefield having learned the skills that were modeled to us from our previous caregivers, growing up, from our parents. And chances are, if you are like most people, they didn't have the best tools for navigating conflict. They didn't model that very well. And yet we are still pulling in either the exact same or the exact opposite of how to handle that conflict that we saw modeled. And I want to say, what if we pretended that there was a totally different way of handling this, a totally different way of playing together? And what would that be like? What would that be like if we try this on, knowing that we can take whatever works and leave the rest, right? So anything I share with you today, if they're like, oh, that resonates, that hit me someplace, like, great, write it down. And if you're like, not for me, okay, that's fine. This is for you to have so many new ideas and get curious about yourself and your current way of being, and is it working for you? And if it's not, if the tools you are using, if the training you are using is no longer serving you, then I invite you to let it go and try something else on. So that's what today is all about, is being curious and experimenting. So you do not have to identify as kinky to be here. I'm going to teach you some tools that come from that community that I find extremely helpful for when conflict arises. And one of the things I also want to bring it forth is like, we all experience pain. And when I start talking about kink, I can feel like a lot of people's wall go, whoa, taboo. That has to do with hurting people or getting hurt. Ouch. No way. That's like crazy or messed up or something. And I'm like, okay, breathe. We're going to go into the playful aspect of kink and not dive into all of that, those ideas and those stories around it. The story that I want you to carry right now is, what would it be like to be playful and curious about your current way of being? So we all experience pain, and most people have learned to just run away from it. And I want to say that there's a difference between pain for the purpose of growth versus pain for injury. And conscious kink is really about sensation. It doesn't always have to be pain, but sensation for the purpose of growth. We're not here to hurt anybody or get seriously, injuriously hurt. And so what I want to bring into this space is, what if we were looking at pain as growth? And conflict can feel painful. It doesn't have to be, but it can feel painful. But if we continue to do the things we did before, if we continue to repeat patterns where you're actually hurting your partner or partners, where you're hurting yourself, that's injurious. That is pain for pain's sake. And that is what many people are repeatedly doing because they know no other way. So what if we flipped it and we were more conscious about it? What if we approached conflict and pain or potential pain as a chance to level up, as a chance to grow and become even more conscious humans? How do we connect with ourselves more? How do we heal? because most conflict is caused by this inner hurt, these core wounds that we each developed probably before the age of six. Something happened. Something happened to all of us. It was traumatic. And it depends on your definition of trauma, but it could have been something as simple as you were in your crib crying, your mom came walking towards you, and then the doorbell rang and she decided to go grab the door first and you saw her walk away. You didn't understand what was going on. Why was she leaving? And you didn't have the tools to cope with that. You just felt abandoned or not good enough or whatever the story was. And that story stayed with you. And guess what? Now we're adults in these big bodies and we think we're so amazing and so cool and we think we're so mature. And the reality is that we're just toddlers in bigger bodies in many ways. We still carry this pain and this trauma with us. And these stories are so present. And one of the most profound ways to heal these stories and these core wounds is in relationship. Now, the challenge is that oftentimes we attract a partner whose core wounds so perfectly match up with ours that they are painful mirrors in many ways. And so intentionally, unintentionally, we are punching each other in the core wounds every day, every day. And what I found is that almost every conflict that arises is due to the same core wound over and over and over again. It is frustrating. It's not almost frustrating. It's frustrating for me. I'm married. I have two children. My husband and I have been learning lots of tools and putting into practice many of the things I'll be teaching today for a long time. And one of the things that I just get frustrated about every time is I expect there to be some new revelation, some new big surprise of like, I didn't know that. Those are the core foundation of everything. But in almost every case, it's the same story. It's the same wounding. And he and I are just creating new situations that are contributing to the same foundation. And so working on this together and being really conscious of it is so powerful for the healing and the releasing and becoming more more embodied, but also just really deeply in love with yourself and having the power to make decisions and handle conflict and not have a lot of conflict anymore because you've healed, which is amazing. So I just want to put that out there. So I've let you know a lot about kink in the background. I want to talk about one of my favorite tools from kink and from conscious kink specifically. And that is when people are choosing to engage in kink, they are really intentional about how are we going to come together? How are we going to engage? What is this going to be like? And there's thoughtfulness behind it. There's planning. And depending on how elaborate they could call it a scene, the time together in that pretend space is going to be, there's a lot of work that goes into it before, during, and after. So I want to bring in some of those tools because they're really juicy. And the first one I want to say is that one of my favorite things about this community is there is this understanding of radical self-responsibility. You don't just show up and be like, okay, do something to me. And no matter what happens, it's in your control and your fault. There's none of that. There's the idea of shame, blame is not there. It's more of a, hey, I'm responsible for this human experience. And I'm choosing to partner with you in this way or to play or be curious with you in this way. And if I don't feel like something is right for me or if something's off, I will communicate that. And there are lots of different ways to communicate that. A really mainstream way that we're going to talk about is safe words, right? You've probably heard like, oh, they'll say like mulberry and all of a sudden everything is done. Or you maybe have heard the traffic light signal. So if you're exploring something new together and everything is good, they'll do a check-in. They'll be like, green light, everything's great. Okay, now things are like a yellow light. Something's a little bit off. What do I need to fix? And you check in, you say, what needs to change? Maybe I just need to shift my body position. Maybe I need to shift how we're communicating. Maybe where we're at right now isn't working for me. Whatever it is, the yellow is a shift. And red is like, whoa, something's way off, stop. Everything stops. And all parties involved have the ability to stop. So that's really, really powerful to know that everybody is equally powerful and equally responsible for themselves. So taking that radical self-responsibility into your own life and into how you navigate conflict that your experience is your own responsibility and that you do have the ability to choose differently or to remove yourself or to make requests or to set boundaries is really, really important. That I think that not all of us were raised even thinking. We were raised, this is the fight, this is just how it happens. And that stinks. That removes so much of your agency. And if you're a parent, what does that model for your children? So one of the things that we try to do is, my husband and I try really hard to not just handle conflict in the dark, like not just go into a room and handle conflict there, but to model healthy, grounded conflict navigation in front of our children and show them that there are lots of ways this can show up and you can both have feelings and you can both feel hurt, but it doesn't mean that you need to hurt anyone else. Okay, so setting the scene, radical self-responsibility first. Second one, we're gonna talk about safe words. So safe word in the kink scene is used to say that the scene is done. This is done. No matter what is happening, there's no discussion of is it done. There's nothing else that happens. So if somebody is tied up in ropes and the safe word is called the ropes come off immediately, all of them, there's no like discussion. And that is really important for creating a sense of safety, of boundaries, of knowing that both of you are radically self-responsible and can trust each other in that space. So what I'm gonna encourage each of you to do is to actually take the time to create a safe word with your partner or partners. And by that, I mean that the safe word is going to be the signal of, hey, I'm noticing that one of us is triggered. Triggered means flooded with emotions, that the tension is rising. And it's that feeling of, you know that a fight is imminent. We all know that feeling, I think. So it doesn't matter if you feel it in you, you see it coming up in them, or you can just feel it in the space in between. What matters is that you call it, or that they call it, and that it gets respected. And so if your safe word is blueberries, then when you hear blueberries, everything stops. Everything just stops. And you take some space. And I'm gonna tell you what to do in this. And again, I'm packing in a lot of information to a very short time. So just deep breath, and there will be questions. It's all good. So first of all, you're going to create a safe word. I'm going to invite you to figure out something that's funny. Humor is really powerful and it can help diffuse a lot of energy. So maybe it's mulberry, maybe it's cheesecake, maybe it's flugelhorn, whatever it may be for you. And then also choose a matching safe signal. So I don't really recommend timeout. People take this very seriously. And it kind of takes away from like the humor and the levity that can be brought in. It could be like a heart signal. It could be touching your nose. It could be whatever feels really juicy for you and your relationship. So you're gonna choose a safe word and a safe signal. And then finally, because we're in the age of technology, also choose a safe emoji. So maybe it's the purple octopus means, hey, we're doing the timeout thing. We're doing the safe word thing. It could be pickles. There's like a pickle emoji now, who knows? So you get to decide, put all three together. Okay, so if you're watching this on video, this is when you pause and you actually do that. Cool. Now, the next step is, this doesn't just mean timeout, because timeout can have its own assumptions and expectations with it. It can also be really triggering for people. So what I want to do is I want to create the opposite. What I want to create is a message that hits the heart. And so what I would ask is that each of you take a piece of paper out and put on the paper what you would like to hear from your partner. If you were in a triggered place and you were about to move away from your partner or partners, what would you like to hear from them? So for example, when my husband does our timeout signal, this doesn't just mean timeout. I know that we've preloaded this, and my preloading request is, honey, I'm noticing there's some conflict coming up between us. I'm gonna go take some space for myself to do my own process. I'm gonna invite you to do the same. I love you, I'm not leaving you, and I'll see you in a little bit when we come back together. All of that is packed into this, which is very different than, I feel like you're gonna fight me, so I'm calling a timeout, right? It's very different energy. So what would you want to here, if your partner were totally grounded and like could speak from their heart and be super vulnerable with you, what would you want them to say to you? Because they're incapable of doing it at that moment, but if you preload it and you practice it when you're not triggered, you know that the meaning is there. And so write it down. This is what I'd want you to say to me. And then this is what they'd want you to say to them. And then when you're not triggered, I say like once a day for a week or so, actually practice this. You practice safe word, whatever the word is. Practice mulberry, practice flugelhorn, practice, right? And in that practice, you would have a copy of your words either on your phone or nearby, and you'd actually have your partner read it to you. And then you'd read theirs to them, so that you're hearing it and you're receiving it from a place where you can actually receive. Because when the time comes for the real thing to be called, when the conflict is coming up, neither of you is gonna say those things. You're just gonna do the thing and then you're gonna take some space. And you're gonna know that it's preloaded. You don't have to hear it again in that moment. Chances are you're not gonna be able to. Because what happens when we have that conflict arise is we get flooded with tons of chemicals. We become this mix of like adrenaline and fight, flight, freeze, or fawn that all comes up and we have to choose like how's our body gonna respond? And we are moving back to the reptilian survival brain and we cannot think clearly. And so in that state, scientists have found that it takes a minimum of 20 minutes to flush all of that from your system, minimum. And so it's not like you're fighting sober or sane. You're fighting in a way that's really already heightened. So when you feel that rush starting to come in, that trigger response starting to come in, instead, I want you to do your safe word or your safe signal. And then here's what's gonna happen next. You are gonna take some space. Now, if you are at a setting that you cannot take space, that is okay. Just pre-agree that whatever that thing was causing conflict is not at all on the table. You cannot put in a last snide remark or try the last word in about it. Like it's done for a minimum of 20 minutes. And both of you have to agree to this and keep that boundary. So when that tension arises, if you are able to take space, and sometimes you can't, maybe you're parenting, maybe you're at a dinner, whatever's going on, I understand. But if you are able to take space, then that's what I'd like you to do, is move physically away from each other for a minimum of 20 minutes. Now here's what you're gonna do in that 20 minutes, because people are often like, okay, so I go away and then I stew on how much of a jerk they are, and then I'm gonna come back and I'll be ready to fight. Like, no. So instead of that, what I'd like you to do is we're gonna practice something that comes from a 12-step program. And this is called HALT, if you're familiar with it, H-A-L-T. So first you're gonna just check in with yourself. Just do some slow, deep breaths. You're taking some space in a place that feels really good. Maybe you're going for a walk. Maybe you're going to your bedroom. Maybe you're gonna go sit in your car and scream. Whatever it is that feels good. I don't recommend you drive, but just sitting in your car is good. Going for a walk is great. And you're just going to do a quick check-in. Am I hungry? Because low blood sugar is a thing. So if you are hungry, get a snack or eat some food. Am I angry? And by angry, I mean, is there more to it? Am I coming in with something happened earlier in the day? Is there bigger emotions that may have happened earlier in the day that I'm just feeling all sorts of response to? So maybe you're boss said something to you at work earlier and you are really feeling like, whoa, I had a rough day at work. And I'm bringing this energy in, or your cat got sick. All right. And you're bringing this energy in. So you have all this stuff that already led to you being in a heightened sensitive state. And now you're walking into the situation with your partner and you're bringing that with you. So that's A for angry. L has two L's. L is loaded. If you've had any alcohol or any other substances, this is not the time to handle conflict. This is the time for you to sober up and take care of yourself. Take that space to sober up and then come back there and talk from the heart, from a sober, grounded place. It's also lonely. So going back to that idea of we're all big toddlers, what do toddlers do when they want attention? I don't know. I have a 3.5-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I can tell you, when they want attention, they get it. they like throw themselves on the ground, they scream, they make loud noises, that it's like everything that you don't want to happen in your world happens really in a heightened thing because they really want your attention. We grow up, we know exactly how to throw a tantrum to get our partner's attention. It just doesn't look like laying on the grocery store floor and screaming and stomping our feet. Instead, we are doing these like slightly manipulative things that just push their buttons because we want their attention. It's like, hey, 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 hey. Even if I really am just lonely and I miss you and I want your attention, I'm gonna find a way to get your attention even if it's negative attention, because that feels better than no attention. So check in, are you just lonely? Do you miss your love, your beloved? Do you miss your partner? If that's where you're at and you're like, whoa, I just really wanna be held right now. I just really wanna like talk about how this thing happened early in my day and I just feel really like upset by it and lonely. If that's true, then own it. Take responsibility and be like, wow, babe, I'm just really missing you. And the way I went about telling you was kind of crummy. And I just really want to cuddle with you right now. And I'm sorry. So just check in with that. Are you lonely? Because that loneliness shows up in the form of adult tantrums. And how can you take ownership and switch that around? And then T is tired. Are you tired? Especially if you're a parent, but or a busy, successful professional who's working crazy hours. If that's true that you're tired, then honor that and take a nap. You can take a 20 or 30 minute power nap. So you're gonna go through HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, loaded, and tired. And then I'm gonna invite you to do one of my favorite practices, and we're gonna do it right now. There is something, there's a group called ISTA, and they have an amazing set of 7 tools for emotional release. And I'm gonna teach you one of them right now, but checking out all 7 is really, really worth your while. And if you're like, I just wanna practice to really like work on my emotional release, those 7 tools, at least once a day, will change your world. So here's what we're gonna do. This is all about screaming. So we have this energy that's pent up in us because we've had something triggered. We've had something push on us. So now we're going to release some of that energy for ourselves so that we can come back more grounded for our partner and for ourselves. We can process better. We let some of this energy move through us. You can let the energy move in many different ways. You want to go for a run. You want to be walking. I love punching pillows. That's one of the tools in the 7 tools for emotional release. But what they teach is that you hit a pillow with this part of your arm. So you put a pillow on your lap and you just slam your wrists into it and your forearms into it. So nothing gets hurt, but you're letting a lot of energy go. The other one we're gonna do right now is for screaming. So you get to do this with me. We get to look ridiculous together. No worries, it's gonna be great. So what we're gonna do is I'll tell you what we're gonna do, then we'll do it together. And we're gonna do it twice, because why not? So you're gonna take both hands. You're gonna be covering your mouth pretty much fully, maybe just a little bit to let some air out. And you're going to scream as loud and as long as you possibly can. Okay, so you're gonna be covering your mouth. Okay, so we're gonna go 3, 2, 1, and we're gonna do it twice together. Here we go, ready? 3, 2, 1, deep breath. Shake it out. Just notice how you're feeling. Even if you're not in the middle of a conflict right now, notice just how you're feeling. We all carry a lot of junk with us through the day, and it builds up. It's there. So just getting out is really powerful. One more time. Here we go. Deep breath. This is really fun to do by yourself, and may not fun. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, I'm just doing this in the middle of my car outside of my office, and who's gonna see me? Doesn't matter. It's also really fun to do with your partner or partners. And it's great to do with your children. If you have children, these 7 tools are really wonderful because you're teaching them how we release energy and how we can use this as part of our daily routine instead of letting it build and the volcano explodes into something unhealthy. Let's just let some steam vents out on the regular. All right, so that is one of my favorite tools. And then finally, the tool that I love is called the 5 breaths practice. It's in my book, and my husband and I do it together almost every time before we start any moments of intimacy. Let's just do it really quickly. I was like, we're running out of time, but that's okay. We're just gonna do it quickly. So this is a very fast version. I invite you to record this or reach out to me and I'll give you a little handout and you can record it for yourself. So you can just listen to your voice. But go ahead and tune in for a moment. This is at the end of, you're taking your 20 minutes apart. You've done your halt. You did some emotional release. You've just checked in with how you're doing. And at the end, we're gonna just end on a 5 breaths practice. So close your eyes, straighten your spine, take a few slow, deep breaths. You'll be doing this alone, but you can also do this with your partner when you both are ready. Taking some slow, deep breaths. On this first breath, practice your smiling muscles. So bring a smile to your face. Smiling helps us feel more grounded and empowered and can tap into our pleasure. Go ahead and let those muscles release. On this next breath, fill your heart with gratitude for anything and everything you're feeling thankful for. Gratitude is one of the most powerful tools for healing and forgiveness and living a wholehearted life, is what Brené Brown calls it. On this next breath, forgive others. So in this situation, forgive your partner. On this next breath, forgive yourself. And finally, on this last breath, set your intention. So if you're doing this in the morning, it could be your intention for your day. If you're doing this in that period of break space, of taking space, so what's your intention for coming back together? One more slow, deep breath in. And release. Go ahead and open your eyes, shake what needs to shake, wiggle what needs to wiggle, and we're back. So that's the 5 breaths practice. And that is how you're gonna close your time by yourself of really grounding before you go back in. Now let's say you need more time, because you said 20 minutes. So after 20 minutes, this is when you could do a check-in. And you could maybe agree that you'll send a text or whatever and just say, hey, I need more time. Or that was perfect, I'd love to meet up. Or can we meet, you know, I've got work or whatever else is happening in my life. Hey, can we meet at 7 o'clock tonight? If you're able to come back to that before bed, that's really powerful and beautiful. And it isn't always possible. And sometimes people process at different times. Like I am a sleep processor. I process a ton in my sleep. And I don't even know the depth of my emotions until the next day. But I usually am aware of enough that I can do an initial check-in, initial dialogue right then and there after 20 minutes or after about an hour to 2 hours. So we do that time. So check in and say, are you both ready? Are you both consenting to coming back together? If not, is there something else you need to take care of? Do you need to call a friend? Do you need to vent? Do you need to journal? Whatever that might be, take care of yourself. When you come back together, this is super high level. So again, there's so much we can go into. There's so much juiciness. But you first do that check-in, then come back together. And then I recommend using Imago Dialogue. I-M-A-G-O. If you need access to the tool, let me know. You can also Google it. They've got great YouTube videos out there on how to use Imago. But basically, it's tapping into this tool of how do you actively listen to each other, and you take turns. It's like going back to that role play idea. This is your scene. This is your kinky scene now that you're going to perform, not perform, you're going to participate in, where you're choosing, I'm going to be the listener. I'm going to be the receiver of information, or I'm going to be the sender information. I'm going to like share my heart. And it doesn't mean you have to take it personally, because this is a role. You're like, I'm going to be the teacher today, right? I'm going to be the whatever it is. You're stepping into a role, and that really can take away the personal, when people take things too personally, right? Like we think that everything is about us. And so let's remove the ego and be like, we're playing pretend. All I have to do is be really good at pretending to be a listener. You're not gonna pretend, but it's that role. You're actually going to listen. And so one person is going to be sending the information. So you'd ask, hey, I'd like to share something with you. Are you open to listening? And the other person says, yeah, I am. And then the person who's sending the information would say, okay, so I was feeling, when this happened, I was feeling this. And it's all about your feelings and your experience. Now the active listener is going to listen for as much as they can hold. And then they're gonna like, this is where we can gently use a timeout. They're like, okay, or stop. Okay, got it. And so you're gonna listen for probably 1 to 3 sentences, and then you're gonna stop, and you're gonna repeat back like a parrot what you heard them say. Do not change the words. If your partner says, I was feeling pissed off, you don't change it to, you were feeling angry. You would say, you were feeling pissed off that this thing happened. Because being heard in our true essence is what is going to make the big shift. And we don't get to actually be heard very often. It's really powerful when you get to be really heard. Even though you might be like, that sounds dumb. They're just going to say back to me the exact same thing I just said. Yeah, try it. All right, so this is going to continue. The sender sends how they're feeling, their information. The receiver repeats it back, and it's going to go on until everything has been said. And after the receiver hears it, they say all the things, and they say, did I get that? The listener's like, yeah. I'm sorry, the speaker is like, yeah, that's it. Is there anything else? Well, yes, there is, and they continue on. So you're asking, did I get that? Is there anything else? Is there anything more? At the end of every time you repeat back. When everything has been said, the listener then gives a short summary of what that was, and then say, did I get that? Is there more? And if everything is good, then you empathize. Wow, if I was in that position, I would probably feel really hurt and betrayed also. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And after the empathizing, you're going to just thank them. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. And then the person who shared is like, thank you so much for listening to me. Now, there's so much we can go into here, so much. Instead, I'm just gonna say, this is a chance to, if you feel comfortable, I would recommend taking a little break after one person goes, because it's so rare that we actually get to feel heard. Let that sink in. Let that person really feel like you heard them before you instantly move into the other side or the rebuttal. And it should not be a rebuttal. It's simply being heard on your turn. So take a few minutes, take a break, just, okay. And then come back and switch roles if you're feeling comfortable. Sometimes you have to switch roles the next day if the other person is okay waiting to be heard. So you get to play with this and be really curious about what works best for us and in which situations. And then the final piece that I wanna talk about from the Conscious King community is aftercare, this idea of aftercare. And it's so beautiful. So when people are planning to do their kinky scenes, then they actually think ahead of time, what do we want to do afterwards? What's going to happen after this pretend thing is done, as moment of intensity is done? And what do you need? And so usually in the kink world, that means, okay, we have to have water ready. We have to have some blankets for snuggling, maybe have some fresh cut fruit ready so that we can really be in it. This is a great tool for your intimacy time too. Like, what do you like at the end of our times of being physically intimate? To really enhance the ending, the closing experience. So same thing with coming out of conflict. What do you need? What do you want for this aftercare? So if you are able to do physical touch, you're able to like hold hands, or even just put your feet next to each other and have your shoes touch, whatever that might be, Or if you can, like, interlock pinkies, whatever feels good to you. If you can do some physical touch, we as humans are really, we find a lot of connection through even the really simple touch. And if not, that's okay. But being conscious of your breathing and maybe practicing taking some slow deep breaths together to stay grounded and really stay in your body and just be together. The other piece is taking 2 minutes and just being grateful. What are you grateful for? Setting a timer for 2 minutes each of, like, what am I grateful for in you? Because again, gratitude is one of the most powerful tools for healing, for forgiveness, for transformation. Whenever you can come back to heart of gratitude, this is really where the power is. And the scene is done. You guys are coming to a close. The conflict is dissipating. There was no, the solution was being heard. There is no other solution. You didn't need to solve anything. You don't need to change anything. Maybe something will come out of that. It would be a ripple effect of, oh, let's try this in the future. But the important thing to remember is that the solution is allowing each other to be seen, heard, and loved just as you are in that authentic, real space. And it takes time and it takes practice and it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable because we were taught a certain way to be. We learned how to handle conflict and it's really comfortable for us. We cling to this way of fighting, which hasn't gotten us the results we want, but gosh darn it, we're gonna cling to it. So this transformation into really allowing yourself to be seen, heard, and loved in this vulnerable space and giving the same gift to your partner is massive and it's gonna be uncomfortable and that's okay. So you keep practicing this and coming back to it. So setting a timer for 2 minutes and just saying, here's what I'm grateful for in you. I'm grateful that we're trying this, even if it's hard. I'm grateful that you're showing up. I'm grateful that you're choosing me. I'm grateful for whatever it is, just having gratitude for each other. And then choosing to have a follow-up time, a check-in time. So after most kinky scenes are done, there's usually a period of processing where both parties or all parties involved go and they spend some time maybe journaling, just allowing all of that, wow, that was a crazy experience to go through them. And then they come back and they just do a little check-in. Hey, can we get, okay, so we're gonna have our scene on Saturday. So on Monday, can we get coffee together and talk about how that was? And so in this case, hey, we had our conflict. The next day or in 2 days, can we just get together when we're not triggered and talk about how that went? What worked well, what didn't work well? What you might change for next time, you know, really talk through this in more of a grounded place. And that's part of the aftercare. And that is extremely powerful. So we are coming to the end of time, and I know that, but this is, I think I've fit almost everything in. I just want to say that how you navigate conflict is completely a choice and how you show up. And then what you allow people to do to you is your choice. And so you have power and agency in this, and you don't have to take it super seriously, and you're not screwing anything up. You just have been using old tools that aren't serving you. So take a deep breath, have some self-compassion. You just learned a lot of cool things about how you can navigate conflict from a very different perspective, probably for many of you. And you get to be curious and have fun with it now. And so hopefully these little tools from many different walks of life, including the world of conscious kink, are helpful. I'd love to know your questions. And if you have more questions or if you want specific handouts or things to these resources, please reach out to me. My website is listed below. It's ericardosh.com. You can also find me on Instagram as Coach Eri Kardosh. And on Facebook, I have my personal page, my business page, and a group that I run called Love and Relationships. And you can find me as Eri Kardosh. My personal page is Eri Kardosh Patel. So, all right. This was so fun. Y'all are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Let me know if you have any specific questions as we wrap up, but this was so delightful. I threw a lot at you. So what do you got?
Well, wow. So we've got quite a few questions. So I just wanted to just point out, first of all, one thing that I noticed that you said that I thought was really cool. At the end of the conflict in the follow-up, you know, what would you change for next time? You know, we think about evaluating all kinds of things in our lives, but not necessarily how we fight or how we have conflict. So that really stood out for me. So Natalie has a question, and it goes back to when you were talking about HALT. And the question is, what if you're lonely is not feeling heard? And I wonder if you answered that when you then started talking about the practice, but if you could talk maybe a little more about that.
Yeah, if you're lonely is not being heard, that's a big challenge. I think using the Imago dialogue is going to help you get into that place. So when you come back together and using that and saying, wow, okay. So instead of beginning with, you're a jerk, instead you begin with, when I was in that space apart, I just realized I'm feeling really lonely. And it feels really scary for me to say this. That it feels really scary for me to say that I miss you. Or I miss being cuddled. And I'm just not feeling heard. And I don't know what to do about that. And so I feel lost. And then I start doing these things that I know are not helpful for you or for me. And that choosing a softness can be extremely, extremely helpful. Hopefully that was a little bit of a demo, but I would actually go to my partner and say that. I would say, I'm feeling really lonely. I'm feeling not heard. And if I have a request, this is a great time to think about, what are my requests? There are four words that I ask or myself before I go into many different scenes, whether like a highly erotic scene or before I go into a highly potentially triggering scene. And I ask myself, what are my hopes, fears, desires, and boundaries? And so in this case, before I go into seeing my partner, I might check with myself on the same things. My hope is to be really connected. And these are things you can share in your Imago time and say, I'm really hoping that we'll be connected. I'm really desiring for us to end up cuddled and with you as the big spoon and me just like feeling your safety and your love. My fear is that we're just gonna like repeat the same thing over again. We're both gonna be mad. We're gonna like not talk to each other and this is gonna end poorly. And my boundary is I don't wanna keep engaging in the same way. And so I'm going to be calling our time out, our safe word, if it feels like we're going back into old patterns. And so that is one way you can begin. You did your own self work and you bring that into your Imago and you're making those requests or you're stating where you're at. But many times we fight because we feel the wall between us and our partner. And we hate that wall. We get pissed. We want to pound through it, go around it, run away from it, but not the wall, just not the wall. And so instead, when you soften your own heart, it's called leaning in, according to the Gottman Institute. And when you lean in, when you choose the thing that's really hard, which is to trust that you can be a little bit vulnerable and open up that space and lean in towards your partner, even if their wall is still up, it allows them to start lowering their wall and peeking through their little windows. And they will start softening in most cases.
I started this off in just thinking about how when someone does open up, it gives you permission to do the same.
It does. And practicing leaning in is so effing hard. Every time I do it, I consciously go, oh, I have to lean in. Oh, fine, I'll do it. And then I do it. And every single time his wall goes down and then my wall goes down, everything's great. And I'm like, I hate that I have to like lean in. And I'm like, but I love the result. And so you're not always gonna like it, but you're gonna love what comes out of it. And it's doing the uncomfortable because it leads to the result we want.
You mentioned the ego earlier. So it's like, it's not that you, maybe not that you hate that you have to lean in. Sometimes maybe we get stuck that we don't wanna be the one to do it first.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's totally our ego, totally. And that's my ego who hates to do it, to be clear, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Someone else, Callie, I believe, said, can you direct us to some kinky scene ideas that you can try? I think there's a real desire for like video kinds of content, like in terms of like these techniques and stuff. Yeah, like, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't go deep into like kink I would say reach out to me. I don't have any videos that I absolutely love. I do some coaching on the side around, I do incorporate this into my coaching, and I'm happy to share more with you about that. There are great resources out there. I'm trying to think of some of my favorites right now. There's just a lot of crap out there too. So I would look for sex positive educators. Some that it really depends on like what your interest is. One of my favorite people around the topic of consent is Reid Mahulko. So just checking out his work, because he's got some really beautiful things around safer sex elevator speeches, which are phenomenal and can be super helpful. And then, there's like so many, and I'm like, I don't even know who to say on this video, but I can say that if you are interested in learning kink, reach out to me and I will happily share some other names and some other tools, and we can actually have a dialogue. I'll probably do a call in my group that talks about kink more specifically. And one of my sex and intimacy coaches is named Jaya. And her right-hand person is Genevieve, and Genevieve runs a phenomenal group online also, and hers is called the Pleasure Community, I believe. And she has been doing some really cool things around kink as like 5-day challenges and stuff that's for people who are new to the world of kink. How do you start incorporating it? And I've got a really fun activity that you can try out at home with your partner to get things rolling. So let me know what you need, and I will happily connect with you and give you some ideas and help you get your first scene going and how to prep for that scene.
Nice. Awesome. So we shared your website before, but what's the best route to get a hold of you? Because you did list a couple, and I want to make sure that we've got those in the chat, because more and more questions came after that.
Yay! So many. So the best way to get in touch with me, I would say, is via email. So I'll just give that to you now. It's Ari, E-R-I, at arikardosh.com. arikardosh.com. You can also find me on Facebook Messenger. I'm really good on Messenger these days, which is great. My personal or my business, either one. My personal is Ari Kardosh Patel, because I'm married to Jaimin Patel. And my professional name is Ari Kardosh. So either one, you can message me on there and I'll connect with you. And then we'll go from there.
Superb. I see a Jordan with a hand up. Jordan, if you have a question, go ahead and maybe put it in the Q&A. We can try and get to it. We've got about a minute.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly share that, I'm a relationship coach, but I also have a program for moms specifically around rediscovering themselves. After having kids, because we get lost sometimes. And I also have a program for singles now. It's called Ready for Love. And we look at all these same things that I talk about, core wounds and how we communicate and how we connect so we're ready for calling in our partner or partners, and that we're actually like prepared for what's there instead of having to soar through all this that a lot of couples are doing after they're already together. And I do have a couples program, both a group program and a private coaching program that leads you on this, and also uses the power of dates, where I'm kind of like your date dom. And I tell you what to do on your date. And you get to explore all these different tools, but under my supervision. It's really, really fun. There's hundreds of couples all over the world. It's awesome.
Sounds like there's options for everyone.
Options for everybody.
Awesome. Absolutely. This is a great question before we close. So Jordan has that question. He said, how to bring this up, that you want to start communicating this way with your partner.
Yeah. Be like, hey, I have this video I want to watch with you. Seriously. Like sometimes having an intro like this of like, hey, I just noticed this. I was really curious. Would you watch it with me again? This sounds really interesting, because there's so much information that was also packed into here that will be really helpful if you can get your partner or partners to sit down and watch this together and say, what was that like? Or let's pause it whenever we have a reaction, just talk through what's coming up for us. I think that's a really wonderful way to go, especially because listening to an outside person talk about the importance of this and how it can work gives you permission. I don't go to my husband for coaching, and he doesn't come to me for coaching, even though we're both coaches, because we can't see what we can't see. And it doesn't matter. We have business coaches, we have relationship coaches, we have sex coaches, we work with people all the time. And it's because we understand the power of permissioning from somebody, not us. And so go out there, whether it's with a coach or a therapist or, you know, taking a class together online, whatever it is, to have somebody else give you permission to try that thing. Whereas if you tell them that you want to do it, or if they tell you they want to do it, it's harder to implement. So that would be my invitation to you.
Absolutely. That's perfect. So we are going to ask you for your sort of top embodiment tip in just a minute. So I'm not putting you on the spot. You can think about it. So everybody remember, you can watch this replay for free for the next 48 hours. Of course, you can purchase the package. That's part of the links that we're going to put in here for you. Continue the conversation. Ari, you said you're on Facebook, so come over to the Intimacy and Relationships channel. So many people, after their talk, will go and meet there. There's coffee breaks, too. Marna, maybe you could put those coffee break links in there as well. If not, I've got them handy, too. So that's a great place to meet up with people. I love this whole community. I've had the opportunity to meet some really kick butt people. And I see so much conversation online where people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I found these people. And Ari, you are top notch. Thank you. I'm leaving with note upon note upon note. And I think everybody else is too. So
thank you. Final, this is such an honor.
Tip.
You know, I already gave it to you. I'm going to say that going back to the five breaths practice is my core. And that's how I begin all my time, my day. I begin my day, I end my day. And that's how I begin my time with my husband whenever we're being intimate about anything, just having a talk at nighttime. We're like, before we get off technology, how do we ground? We go to the five breaths. So it's now in this video. You can go back and watch it. You can also email me. I'll give you a handout.
Perfect. I love it. Awesome. So all of the links are there. Please scoop them up, save the chat so you've got all of Ari's contact information, and reach out, and I guess get the kink going. You got one more thing?
Yeah. I just want to say, and if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know if I should reach out, but I kind of want to, that means you should. So, I mean, should. I invite you to lean into that and just reach out. Say hi. So thank you, everyone. This was amazing.
Yeah. Enjoyed it so, so much. Thank you all so much. Everybody, have a good one. Mwah.